and welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, product safety investigator Marianne McGurty-Sieber from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's start off again this morning with a quick overview of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and its mission.
Well, CPSC is a federal regulatory agency. We're independent like EPA or FDA. We actually broke off from the Food and Drug Administration back in the 70s. We regulate consumer products, so really anything that your listeners touch from the time they get up in the morning, coffee maker, hair dryer, to very often consumers will hear about the recall of children's products. But we do anywhere from 250 to 450 recalls every year. So we could be in the news almost every single day. But this time of year, we like to talk about summer safety and all the great activities that we are finally getting the opportunity to enjoy and sort of getting out and perhaps planning that vacation, you know, with an opportunity today that we didn't have, you know, in our last year, and meeting up with family, friends, and getting together and just really enjoying the nice weather.
You know, last year at this time, we talked about the idea that we weren't going to be traveling, that a lot of us would be stuck at home and entertaining ourselves outdoors more. We'd be able to get outdoors, and we'd be pulling down stuff from the attic and digging out sporting equipment from the garage that hadn't seen the light of day in absolute years. And that was sort of the gist of last year's warm weather conversation about reusing sporting and toys, all of those goods, and planning for outdoor activities that we hadn't, maybe that was the first time we've ever put on a pair of rollerblades or the first time we ever got on a bicycle.
Yeah, well, you know what? The idea, you're right. We talked a lot about look around your home, various safety tips to keep in mind or look for and sort of take an overview, so to speak, because we were not, traveling with our families, visiting family members, planning that particular vacation because of the safety precautions that were in place. But, with the introduction of the vaccines and the masking reduction, you know, families have begun to, you know, plan those family vacations. But a lot of the same messaging that we talked about as far as the safety tips we've used, you know, really all year long, we can actually take a lot of those tips with us to really provide, say, a safe home away from home. Because, you know, maybe you're not going to a hotel. You know, maybe you're renting a home or renting a condo. So we, CPSC, does have a tip sheet to sort of give some consumers some ideas to think about once they reach these vacation destinations. One area is fire safety. Once you get to your destination, maybe take a look around and see, are there working smoke detectors and CO alarms? Fire extinguishers, is there one nearby in case something might occur? Child safety, you know, do you have younger children? Perhaps maybe grandchildren will be attending, or nieces and nephews. Maybe you don't have any children. So look at what is in and around the home. You know, did you rent a crib? Is the crib up to federal safety standards? A quick check of a crib. Easy way to find out whether if the slats are too wide is, can you fit a soda can through the slats? If you can, then it is an older crib and it does not fall within the current federal regulations. And if you have been given a drop-side crib, perhaps as a loaner, drop-side cribs are no longer sold today. So what we would recommend in this instance, if you can't replace it out, is to perhaps turn the crib around and put that drop side up against the wall. And pool safety, whether you're renting a home or, you know, you always see that sign when you go on vacation, perhaps in the resorts, that there is not a lifeguard on duty. So, you know, being aware of where our kids are in and around the pool, We primarily focus on kids 5 and under, but it's not to say that once they reach that age of 5 that they're drown-proof. So use the same tips that you may use in your home if you have a backyard pool, and be aware of, you know, where our kids are. Use flotation devices with you while you have them, you know, in the pool itself. Or also be careful, too, about sometimes the vacation spots may have a hot tub. So be mindful of the temperature of those hot tubs because they can get a little bit warm and maybe too high for younger children.
Now, you mentioned flotation devices, and a lot of these things are going to be used. We've talked in the past about you don't want to take a child seat that has been used. You don't want to use a helmet that has been used. You just don't know what's happened to it. But are there guides for other devices like this? I mean, a pool noodle looks like a pool noodle, but a flotation device, are they okay used?
So for flotation devices, what we're really talking about here are things such as perhaps it could be something the child sits in, you know, when they're a little bit younger, you actually drop them inside of it, or it could be the swimmies or the floaties that the arm barriers or cuffs that we put on our kids. All of these various items have a warning label on there that identifies that they're not life-saving devices. They're really only meant to help you with them in the water. Turning around, being distracted, talking to a family member, reading a book. You are the best lifeguard for your kids as far as when they are in the water. But as far as use, such as we talk about, as you mentioned, say with bike helmets, if you are given a bike helmet or you buy one secondhand, yes, you don't know the history of it because a bike helmet could have come in contact with the ground in an accident, you know, or a fall. You don't see any external damage, you know, on that bike helmet, but there could be some internal damage. And the same goes for car seats. Infant carriers. The difference between an infant carrier and an actual car seat, the infant carrier is a children's product and it's regulated by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The car seat is identified as a product of the car. So that is under NHTSA, National Highway Traffic and Safety. However, because these are both children's products, you know, we work with the agency cooperatively to help consumers should they have questions in reference to recalls and other areas of question. But yes, going back to your original statement, that is an example of a product that we don't recommend that you would either buy secondhand or borrow from someone because the same, the integrity. We don't know if that particular car seat or that particular infant carrier had been involved in any type of accident. And that's where the integrity of perhaps a, you know, a particular item, such as, of course, something that you would always want to make sure it is up to the best of standards. But looking back on some of the type of products in addition to floaties and swimmies, et cetera, yes, you mentioned noodles. I think that's more of an amusement type thing. But looking at the backyard pool, we were talking about a wading pool, an above ground pool, you know, those inflatable pools that really could be almost the size of a standard above ground pool. And of course, an in-ground pool with, you know, it's a standard above ground pool or an in-ground pool, depending upon where you live, there are rules and regulations for fencing that, of course, once you have that installed, you have to go according to where you live. CPSC recommends that the fence be at least 4 feet high, no footholds or handholds on the fence, and that the gate automatically closes immediately after you open it. Never want to prop open that gate for any reason whatsoever, because perhaps, you know, a three-year-old that's two doors down visiting grandma, you know, wanders off and gets into your backyard. As far as the fourth side of the house, that often becomes the the fourth side that we talk about with fencing, that often becomes the half. For that case, we recommend that there be some type of an alarm. It's simply something that you attach to the back door that lets you know that the toddler is no longer in the family room watching TV. She's not now entered into the backyard. The pool is blue. It's pretty. There's toys out there. So at the end of the day, we recommend that either, one, you turn over the wading pool, two, remove the ladder that's for the above-ground pool. Three, remove toys from any area of any of those type pools. And, you know, for an in-ground pool, sometimes families do have, automatic covers that they can put on there. But what you want to do is set up barriers. It's really what it comes down to. How many barriers can you set up from the house into the backyard to the pool itself for a child to get through before they reach that final destination of the water?
You want to talk about what you do for your kid when you go to the beach or you go, I mean, any of the products that you'd like to chat about?
Well, sure. A lot of the same things that we talk about, you know, for using in the pool itself. So you have the flotation devices, you have the swimmies that you put on a child, you know, to help them stay afloat within the water. Also, too, as far as another type of alarm that's available out there is a watch that you can put on. It's like cartoon characters. What happens is if that watch comes in contact with water, an alarm will go off, much like the you have on your back, you know, your back door, to let you know that the child has made it into the pool itself. You know, unfortunately, we do see incidences sometimes where, you know, it is, say, you know, during the summer months where perhaps, you know, grandparents are watching their grandchildren, maybe the pool's not maintained as well, so it is dirty, and you can't see to the bottom of the pool. And, you know, often, you know, people will think that it's a situation where I have plenty of time or, you know, it will really make a lot of noise, and it does not. So by setting up these barriers and these type of items, be it whether it's, you know, with us and the child in the pool or setting up these alarms and various other devices, we put the fencing, you know, the alarms on the back door, the wristwatch, this just, you know, helps you, gives you further time. But if you have a younger child and that child is not seen and you have any type of water, you know, type of pool in the backyard, we recommend that you go there first. Being distracted, you know, having to go grab the phone, a lot of people will, once they have a pool, will become more acquainted with CPR and various other life-saving devices. I've even heard sometimes where family members will have a party and they'll simply hire a lifeguard, which really is a great idea because this person becomes the water watcher. They are primarily focused on watching everyone who's in the pool at all times, just because, you know, you may have, you know, various family members, sometimes, you know, to take turns, that, of course, is another option. But, you know, using that one individual, that lifeguard, just to watch everyone while they're in the pool all day long really, you know, turns out to be a good idea.
Hey, if you're just joining us, this is Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Marianne McGurty-Sieber. She is Product Safety Investigator for the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. And you can find them, along with all of the tips and all the information that we talk about today, at cpsc.gov. All right, so we're distracted around the pool because maybe we are barbecuing and we are grilling.
That's always
fun. Yeah. Give us the warnings. Tell us what we need to do before we haul that monster out.
Okay. So for, be it whether a propane or a charcoal grill, we should always only use them outdoors. And that means keeping them away from your home, deck railings, out from under any kind of overhangings, perhaps branches. You do not want to use them inside a garage or on a porch. Never leave them inside a tent or other structures. Really what you're looking at here is ventilation. Run issues, run problems sometimes where it's a pop-up thunderstorm or you're trying to, you know, grill for the family barbecue and you're trying to figure out what's the best, you know, way to do this because you have a rainstorm. So, leaving it by by putting in the ventilation area, the concern here is carbon monoxide. We talk a lot about that in the wintertime because we are closed up inside of our house. But in these particular cases, and even with the charcoal, you see it right there on the bag. It talks about the concerns and an actual warning label that talks about using charcoal in an unventilated area. For the propane tank, a couple of ideas or tips here. If your tank runs empty, we recommend that you put it into your car securely, take it, trade it out, get it filled back up, whatever you do, and return home. It is not a type of thing that you want to have either moving around, bouncing around in the back of the SUV or the pickup truck. You really need it to leave it securely in your back of your car. As far as where, we talked a little about distance. This also goes for kids, pets. You want to keep flammable liquids such as gasoline or lighter fluid away from the grill. Use it once and immediately remove it. We've all seen the damages that can happen sometimes where the grill is a little too close to the backyard, back side of the house, and you see the damage on, say, aluminum siding or any type of siding on a home or even the deck rail. Think about where it is that you are living. You may think, well, I have, a small balcony, off my condo or my townhouse, and this is the appropriate or this would be okay to use. Look at your homeowners association or your rental agreement to find out where it is and what's the best safety precautions to use. As far as the grill itself, if you're using the grill gas or charcoal, if you've not cleaned it, say over the winter, or you perhaps didn't use it from cleaned it from the last use, once you get it heated up, you can just take that wire brush and quickly go over it. What you're doing here is removing any kind of residuals left over because this can immediately flame up once things get heated, or perhaps there's lighter fluid put on there. So keep this all in mind while we're attending and just really being present, not spending any time away from the grill itself because, again, you don't know what can happen with children, with vets, and, of course, distance and safety in terms of carbon monoxide.
You mentioned propane tanks and winter, but there's another time that we will pull them out, and that is in hurricane season. And if you lose power, we turn to whatever we can to make do to keep the household going, to feed our kids and to keep the lights on. Do you want to talk a little bit about hurricane safety? I know that you have a lot of information available for all of these topics and including this, but do you want to touch on it lightly about getting ready for storms?
So really, depending upon where you live and in our area especially, you could have a large, rainstorm come through. It doesn't necessarily always have to be a hurricane. But the tips, as you mentioned, yes, are great to use because across the board, I think sometimes people don't quite understand either, one, what the effects of carbon monoxide could be and what the symptoms are. So, and you're right, when you are dealing with power outages, it was just a few years ago, and I think it was a June storm that blew through this area, South Jersey, into various parts in Pennsylvania, and there was 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks that people were without power. As far as the generator is concerned, number one, we always say use it outside only. It should be at least 20 feet away from the home. The direct generator's exhaust should be away from the home. That is because, like as you mentioned, it's an emergency situation. People are trying to just figure things out, put air in their house, get the refrigerator keeping up and running, so they don't really, one, read the directions, or two, perhaps they're borrowing it from someone. Always make sure that you never operate it inside the home, the garage, the basement, the crawl space, the shed, on the porch. Open all the windows and doors if you have a concern. Of course, we always talk about smoke alarms, but there also are CO alarms available, and sometimes there are combination alarms, CO and smoke detector alarms. We recommend that you put it, you think, well, let me put it in the basement because it's right next to that water heater, which is a gas appliance. We really recommend one on each level of the home. If you don't want to do that, we recommend you put it in the hallway near the bedrooms because CO will rise. Be careful if you have a concern in reference to CO, or you feel as if you are not, you know, having ill effects. They are very similar to the flu, and various family members from younger children straight through to grandparents can feel CO differently. So in these situations, unfortunately, we have had numerous times where families have either used generators improperly, or it was some type of mechanical setup, electrical setup, where there's various wires running through. Again, if you have any concerns about your situation in your home, reach out to your local fire officials. Get outside. If you don't feel well inside your home but feel better when you leave your home, there could be a CO issue there. As far as the use of, I talked a little bit about the grills, you know, bringing them inside tents. Sometimes people will bring grills inside homes because they look at that as another heating source. You know, again, the same danger here with the portable gas grill or also the charcoal grill. These are not heating elements. They should never be used inside a family's home. Of course, candles. We recommend really that you use flashlights. If you have to use candles, be careful where you leave them, because really, you know, things can catch fire. And of course, never leave burning candles unattended, and make sure you extinguish those candles once you leave the room or before you go to bed at night. And with various appliances, if things become wet, you really need to, one, discard unplugged electrical or gas appliances that became wet. These are electric shock and fire hazards. You don't want to touch any of these types of appliances, and always have some type of professional, if you think there was water damage, take a look at your gas or electrical products in your home for issues in terms of valves, electrical wiring, circuit breakers, fuses, you know, anything that may have come in contact with any water. And gas, if you smell it, we really recommend that you immediately leave the home and call your local gas company to come out and, you know, have a check to see if there's some issues within your home.
I alluded to your tips, and you do have a fabulous assortment of information, brochures and pamphlets, et cetera. Everything is available and in multiple languages, and it's all at your website. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we find when we go to cpsc.gov?
Sure. Well, again, it is www.cpsc.gov. Really, from there, you can get a wealth of information talking about any of the subjects we've discussed this morning. In addition to think about all of the other items from lawn equipment to, you know, the backyard swing set, you know, if you have questions that perhaps you want to look up and see, CPSC's every recall that we've ever done since the 70s is on our website, which is great because that gives you an opportunity that perhaps maybe there's a new baby in the house or you're a new grandparent and you are using products that, you know, you saved from your own children when they were little. So you can go back and reference, you know, basically what you need in front of you is a manufacturer, a model number, serial number, so that you can cross-reference to see, yes, was there a recall? Okay, what's the steps? Yeah. Is it something that I can return and get a replacement for? Can I get a refund for? Is there a retrofit kit that the manufacturer will mail to me? If I can give one word of advice to your listeners, it is when you buy a consumer product, especially a children's product, we always recommend that you fill out that registration card. That's the connection between you and the manufacturer. Should that product ever be recalled, they will notify you directly, which is great. Think about the quantity. I said 250 to 450 recalls every year. That's a lot. It's a lot for families to keep up. It's a lot for any consumer to keep up with, because you think about the number of products that you have. And recalls, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard a number of recalls anywhere from the Peloton treadmills that were discussed, you know, for several weeks in the news, that talked about hazards associated with the two types of treadmills that Peloton was selling, to the Kitta smoke, combination smoke CO alarms that had a concern that it can fail to alert consumers to fires. these are all, you know, really great tips, you know, for families to take the few minutes to go to CPSC's website and look at all the information available. But if you have not started to fill out those registration cards, do that today. And then also, too, if you ever have a concern in reference to a product that you are using, maybe something happened, please reach out to us. We always would like you to let us know what happened, a model number, serial number, manufacturer, what happened. Give us the specific details so that we can begin to look into, is there a certain problem here? And also, too, we always recommend that you reach out to the manufacturer. Tell them they are required to notify the CPSC when they hear from a consumer that there's been a hazard associated with their product. So this way we hear about, you know, the incident both from the consumer and from the manufacturer, and then we can get, you know, really get down to business and determine what's the next course of action.
And your website, it, your list of products goes back decades.
And, you know, and it's great for that, too, because we use so many products, whether you have had them in your home for a period of time, or perhaps you're at a yard sale, you're thrift store shopping, you're looking at antiques. It is a wealth of information, and we all have phones. We all can go onto the website really instantaneously and find out, hey, is the product that I see in front of me a great buy? You know, what is the remedy here? Was it recalled? Okay, what do I need to do to make sure that, you know, yes, I'm going to buy it, and yes, I'm going to find out what is the proper remedy to make sure that I'm using it safely.
For someone who hears this and they're thinking about, well, my neighbors, my elderly neighbors, or maybe it's the lady down the street with kids, and you want to help out your neighbors and friends, you have information for communities and community groups to help each other. Is that not right?
Yes. From, you know, as I mentioned, we really, CPSC goes from, we hear a lot about baby safety and child safety, but it really, the messaging and the safety tips go straight through to seniors. And seniors are active. Of course, if mom or dad are still in their home, you want to make sure that the home is safe for them, and, you know, and what can you help them with to make sure that home is adjusted? Or all, you know, for grandparents who often play a large role in perhaps their grandchildren's lives in terms of just overall safety. You know, it provides really good home safety guidance that, frankly, all of us could use. It doesn't matter if we're grandparents or not. That really gives you a room by room tip that you can go through and look at your home to make sure, of course, that both you and your family and your parents after this past year are safe in the home.
And, of course, for all of that, the easy place to go, CPSC.gov for Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC.gov. And parting words?
So we have a hotline number. It's 1-800-638-2772. Consumers can give us a call Monday through Friday, normal business hours, and speak to someone that because perhaps they have a question in reference to maybe something that has happened in their home, they want to report a particular incident. From the website, we talked a little bit about the information, but consumers and groups and churches and various types of schools, et cetera, can go on there and also order some of our publications and think about what's available in terms of bikes and in playgrounds. Perhaps your community is doing a rehab and they're completely redoing a couple of playgrounds within your town or township. There's something on there that talks about public playgrounds and some tips for both families and consumers. You know, should there be a redo going on, or you take your kids to the local playground, you know, some tips to keep in mind. There's lots of types of activities that we've talked about today, from the water activities to the grilling. But really what it all comes down to is that it provides you sort of an umbrella of subjects or product areas that consumers can look at. And often, too, you know, we will sit down, and I guess especially in this past year, perhaps make some purchases online. Any company that's doing business with a consumer here in the U.S. has to abide by our federal regulations. So that doesn't matter, you know, that you're buying a particular product from outside of the U.S. You are the consumer here. If you leave this country and make a purchase outside, that is different. That goes under wherever it is that you are buying that particular product. But for all the online and internet shopping that we've done in this past year, know that CPSC is looking at what products are being sold. Is a company trying to be deceptive in terms of perhaps putting up a recalled product, or, you know, the various selling sites where consumers will go to buy secondhand products. We work with those companies, and we also monitor those sites to make sure that products that are recalled are not being sold on those sites.
And, of course, that's at CPSC.gov, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC.gov. My guest today, Marianne McGuirty-Siever. She is a product safety inspector for the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Marianne, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful, safe summer.
The same to you. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.